Pop fans will recognize this song before the words begin. Well, the same piano man who produced that music has also written this. No words, just notes on a new CD from Billy Joel, written in the classical mode. Pianist Richard Jew plays a set of fantasies and delusions composed by the singer-songwriter pop rock superstar. Billy Joel started piano lessons at age 4 on an old Lester upright in the living room. At 16, he stopped his lessons. "I discovered girls," he says. Now, at 52, Billy Joel goes back to his beginnings, the classical training he got from a teacher on Long Island.
Frances Neiman was her name. She also taught ballet. So it made for some interesting altercations on my way to piano lessons. You know, "Hey, Billy, where's your tutu?" And so I actually eventually learned how to box because I got tired of being beat up.
And didn't that come to haunt you later when you started doing rock and roll? The fact that you had studied classical music, that isn't a great thing for
a
rocker.
Well, they beat up on me for that, too. So, well, you can't be an authentic rock and roller. You studied music. You took classical piano lessons. Well, yeah, that's the music I like. But you know what? All 20th century popular songwriting harkens back to 19th century melodic, thematic music. With this recording, I've read reviews where they say it's very reminiscent of Chopin, very reminiscent of Debussy and Schumann, and I'm reading this, and this is supposed to be kind of a put-down. Oh, it's too reminiscent of Chopin. But they're my notes.
It could be worse than being compared to Chopin.
What's wrong with that? That's how I'm thinking. Well, he's been studying Rachmaninoff for too long. Oh, gee, thank you very much.
I heard Jerome Kern. I hear you quoting "Long Ago and Far Away" in your first cut. Are you aware of that?
In the Reverie?
Yeah.
But I go away from it. There's no way that you can write melodic music and not somehow get in the middle of something that happened before. I think even composers from the 19th century recognized that. Or early Beethoven sounds like late Mozart.
Let me ask you the other side of that then. Where in here will the diehard Billy Joel fans hear real Billy Joel stuff?
Well, it's in the melody. There's a piece called Soliloquy. Those notes really represent a lyric that says, "We say goodbye, we say goodbye, and then I watch as you leave, and then I slowly return to this quiet house." This is the first piece I wrote for this project. I was having a visitation with my daughter, who had moved to Colorado with her mom. She was leaving, and she's driving away, and my heart's breaking, and I started to write this song, "We Say Goodbye, and I Watch As You Leave." And then I'm writing this music, and it's descending. And it's getting more and more minor and sadder and darker, and I said, "I don't need lyrics." I'm not sure how to put some of these things into words, which is why I'm writing in the instrumental vernacular. If you put your own words in and you make up your own story, which is what really should be done with instrumental music, you can imagine what was the composer thinking. You know, Beethoven, da 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 da. To me, that's "Open the Door." He's kicking in the door of the 19th century. He's knocking down the door of romanticism. Bum, 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 bum. "Open the door, let us in. You know, we are the new breed of artists. We are the revolutionaries, and here we come." That's exciting.
When you sit down to compose, do you start with mood? Do you say it's got to be the key of E?
Sometimes I'm writing to a particular person. Usually it's a woman. All my life, you know, writing for women. but they seem to like it. You know, girls like that. They like it when you write stuff for them. And I don't think a lot of the other composers throughout history were any different than I am. I think Mozart did it for the same reasons. So did Beethoven. He was in love with some countess, and he wrote this piece because that's how he was feeling about her, but he couldn't express it to her.
Women inspire Billy Joel. So does an encounter or a dialogue he finds he's having with himself. For instance, his second waltz came to him as he walked along 57th Street in Manhattan, just past the Steinway showroom.
And I had this thought in my head, da-da, da-da, da-da. It's almost a conversation. But then, what if, da-da-da-dee-da. I said, I gotta get to a piano. So I run back to the Steinway showroom. Can I use a piano? Sure, let's see, we've got the Rachmaninoff room available. And I go into the Rachmaninoff room, and there's all these huge, towering oil paintings of Sergei Rachmaninoff staring down at you as you're playing this, you know, Rachmaninoff's time. I'm thinking, oh, not too much intimidation here.
Don't you think so much music comes out of longing?
Absolutely.
For one thing or another.
Oh, yeah.
So much of art does, really, of any sort.
The worst position an artist can find themselves in is one of, you know, total contentment and not having any heartache and not having any great ecstasy, you know. Oh, well, everything is just fine. Now you're in trouble.
Billy Joel, his CD, Fantasies and Delusions, Music for Solo Piano, the pianist is Richard Jew, remains at the top of Billboard's classical chart. Tomorrow, the non-classical Billy Joel and the song he chose to perform right after September 11th. There's more on Billy Joel and his new music on our website, npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Susan Stamberg.